It is October 6, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of the content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our Hits and Takes section, stories from the First Read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. More sad news. This one hurts. Mark D. Connolly has passed away at the age of 60. He died suddenly on September 29th, the obituary in the Chicago Tribune says. I found out yesterday, only after all of his services had been held. Mark was a good friend, a former Elmhurst neighbor and futures industry stalwart who I first met in a YMCA Little Dribblers program in Elmhurst, Illinois, when my son Tim was in the first grade. I later ran into him in the Price Futures Group's offices one day as he had been hired to audit one of their funds, and we both came to realize we worked in the same industry. It was Mark who connected me with his then firm, now McGladrey, to do the taxes for John J. Lothian and Company, Inc. I have had a relationship with McGladrey since then. Mark was a wizard at helping firms find problems with the fees they paid to exchanges. His Gmail account was connolly.fees@gmail.com. He was a very upbeat, smiling, happy person. He is described in the Tribune as the life of the party, which would be right. He was a loyal Chicago Cubs fan. He coached Little League Baseball in Elmhurst for many years for his different sons. Mark was a friend of many in the futures industry. He was taken from us too soon. It is a shock. Every day is a gift. I keep reminding myself of that. The CME Group has appointed new heads for their equity and cryptocurrency businesses, naming Paul Woolman, currently global head of equity index products, to lead the company's equity index product portfolio, while Giovanni Vischioso, the CME's global head of cryptocurrency products, will assume responsibility for the company's cryptocurrency products. Tyson Foods announced they are moving their corporate headquarters out of Chicago, following the lead of such firms as Citadel and Boeing, Inc. They are moving all of their corporate teams to their longtime headquarters in Springdale, Arkansas. They did not give a reason for the move, like, there's too much crime in Chicago, because I think they did not want to seem chicken. The Financial Times has a special report, Investing in America. Check it out. This sounds like a sure thing investment. Tuttle Investment Management has filed with the SEC to launch an ETF that takes short positions against those stock picks recommended by the TV personality Jim Cramer. Tuttle has also filed a long ETF with the SEC, but come on, it's the short one that begs for your investment dollars. I need to apologize for including a bad link yesterday for the best bar. Rather than sending you to a bar hidden behind a pastrami shop, I sent you to the aggregation document for this newsletter. We normally double-check our links, but this one slipped through our processes. The right link for the best bar in the world is included in today's newsletter. MLB.com had a story a couple days ago about a former Purdue exponent colleague of mine who went to work for Major League Baseball for 20 years. It is a story titled "The Coin Flip That Saved Baseball in Seattle," about how Carolyn Holmes was asked by the president of the Seattle Mariners to make the coin flip selection on behalf of the Mariners that determined home field advantage in the case of a tie. Chuck Armstrong, the Mariners president, asked her to do this because they were both Purdue Boilermakers, and he trusted her. It's an interesting story about the history of coin flips and tie-breaking in baseball. The 2022 United Nations Climate Change Conference, or COP27, will be held from November 6th through 18th in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt. State parties to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, UNFCCC, as well as thousands of experts, journalists, and representatives from businesses and non-governmental groups will gather at COP27 with the goal of global cooperation to address climate change. You can learn more and view session information with a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here is a video from John Lothian News. Swiss Finance Museum fills unique niche to promote financial literacy. Amid educational events occurring around the world for IOSCO's World Investor Week, John Lothian News spoke to the director of the Swiss Finance Museum at the Swiss Exchange about the museum and what they are doing to promote financial literacy. JLN interviewed Andrea Wiedemann, director of the Swiss Finance Museum, about the history of the museum and what it is trying to accomplish. She said the Finance Museum is unique in Switzerland, especially for a country that has 1,111 museums of all different kinds. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from American Banker. The headline: Most Powerful Women in Finance, Number 5, Lynn Martin, NYSE Group. As a child, Lynn Martin nurtured her love of technology and coding on a Commodore 64 in her parents' home in Smithtown, New York. But it was not until her first job in coding that she felt the pull of Wall Street. After landing at IBM in 1998, Martin was assigned to write code for a major global bank to measure trade processing times on the New York Stock Exchange during peak days. The work, coupled with her after-hours pursuit of a master's degree in statistics, sent her on the path that led her to her current job. In January, Martin was named president of the NYSE, only the second woman to lead the exchange in its 200-plus years of operation. Martin's background in technology is a key asset as she steers the company through the increasingly digital nature of business and finance. My comment: I'm surprised Lynn is not higher in that list. She is on mine. Here's a story from the Press Association. Greta Thunberg discusses how Asperger's shaped her approach to climate crisis. Greta Thunberg has revealed how being diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome has shaped her approach to the climate crisis, saying it, quote, helped me see through a lot of the bullshit. The 19-year-old climate activist gained recognition at age 15 when she began spending her Fridays sat outside the Swedish Parliament building calling for more serious action on climate change. My comment: Greta is up there too on my list. Here's a story from Sky News. Cost of living. Shell boss calls on government to tax oil and gas companies to protect poorest. The chief executive of Shell has called on the government to tax oil and gas companies in order to protect the poorest people in society from soaring energy costs. Speaking at the Energy Intelligence Forum in London, Ben Van Beurden said, one way or another, there needs to be government intervention that somehow results in protecting the poorest. That probably may mean that governments need to tax people in this room to pay for it. My comment: common sense is not so common, but the Shell boss seems to have it. Here's a story from NPR. The headline: Author of the Onion Supreme Court brief explains why parity is worth defending. The long-running First Amendment case of an Ohio man is suddenly getting a lot of attention, thanks to the satirical news site The Onion, and that's not because it's been spoofed. It's because the publication has gotten involved directly, submitting a brief to the Supreme Court in defense of parody itself. My comment: it is no fun if you can't make fun of people. Here's the top three stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our top story Wednesday was Chicago to convert famous business district office buildings to apartments, from the Wall Street Journal. Second was a link that was intended to be the story called The Best Bar in the World, hidden behind a Barcelona pastrami shop from Bloomberg, but instead mistakenly linked to our news aggregation document. We apologize for the error, and this link should be the correct one. Third was the LaSalle Street Chicago story from Crain's Chicago Business Point of View. Could those plans revive LaSalle Street? Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. First, from the Wall Street Journal, the headline, crypto exchanges cut fees to gain market share from rival. Binance and others are following Wall Street's approach to winning over customers. Crypto exchanges are taking a page from mainstream brokers. To drum up business, the biggest exchanges are cutting fees. The crypto market crash dampened trading volumes, putting more pressure on crypto exchanges. Companies are hoping lower fees will help them capture market share from rivals. Over the past decade, Wall Street brokers and fund managers eliminated fees on stock trading and a host of investment products to win over customers. In many cases, the biggest asset managers have benefited the most from low fees because their scale allows them to still turn a profit and funnel clients into higher margin products. And then second, here's a story from Bloomberg. Sibo takes step into DeFi by posting free market data on Pyth. Sibo Global Markets is making some real-time market data freely available over blockchain as the exchange operator makes its entry into decentralized finance. The Chicago-based firm is joining the Pyth network, the Jump Trading Group backed decentralized publisher of crypto and other market data. As a contributor, it will provide data of 10 equities starting in the fourth quarter. And then finally, here's another story from Bloomberg. Electronics starting trade-up One Kronos hires TrueMid executive to lead new platform. Vlad Kondros is hired to lead new alternative trading system. Firm built an automated auction to trade quantities of stocks. Vlad Kondros, an executive at electronic bond trading platform TrueMid, has left to lead One Kronos, which lets institutional investors bid for stocks in an automated auction. Kondros, TrueMid's former head of corporate development, will become chief executive officer of One Kronos Capital Markets, a subsidiary of OCX Group, Inc., according to people familiar with the move, who asked not to be named discussing a private matter. He starts next week, based in New York, and will report to Kelly Littlepage, co-founder and CEO of One Kronos. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the Daily John Lothian Newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day, and stay safe, and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.